Hey, Dan Sheridan here. It's a pleasure spending time with you once again as we're learning American history. This is lesson 10 in our course, and this is the part one of the overall series covering the discovery period in American history. All right, we learned last time that Columbus finally got the backing of Queen Isabella. She had the situation with the Moors settled, and she backed Columbus and provided him with the necessary funds to make the trip. Now, Columbus was given three ships. The first one, the Santa Maria, that's the one on which Columbus sailed. The second one, the Pinta, and the third one, the Nina. And they were fitted out at the port of Palos and provided cannon and ammo. So they looked like trade ships and warships all at the same time. Now, the crew was a little bit of a problem. It consisted of about 100 unwilling and gloomy guys, many of whom were forced to go. And to make matters worse, the people of Spain thought the trip would end in disaster. We'll talk about that in a moment. So Columbus made all the preparations. He fitted out the ship, and he was ready to go. The day he had longed for a long time finally came. It must have felt really good. So the day finally arrived, about a half an hour before sunrise, on Friday, August 3rd, 1492, the fleet started out on the most famous voyage in world history. Well, at least it's the most famous trip in world history to us. We have the benefit of hindsight. However, if you had gone back to that day and that time and talked to the people in that day, they would have said that this was a fool's errand. If you could have transported back in time to, say, the 3rd of August, 1492, and asked the people on the shore watching this thing unfold, they would have said that these guys were nuts. They're going to die. Columbus is crazy. The fleet is doomed. That's what they would have said. But Columbus didn't listen to the negative press, so off he went. And the people of Palos silently watched the ships sailing away till they disappeared over the horizon, thinking these sailors would never be heard from again. And that's quite a gloomy prospect. Now, before we sail out to sea with Columbus, let's try to get an idea what the accommodations were like on this pleasure cruise. First of all, there were no showers, no toilets, and no Lido deck. I'm not sure I would have gone on this cruise. The Santa Maria was the largest in the fleet. That's, again, the one I said that the Columbus sailed on. And the ship weighed about 200 tons. It was 65 feet long and 200 feet wide. You know, I used to tell kids, go out in the driveway and measure that space out. And imagine staying 3 months with a bunch of smelly guys in that space without being able to leave. It was very cramped. I bet you they lost a lot of tempers and got tired of each other pretty quickly. But that's how big the ship was. Now, cruise ships today are over 1,000 feet long, a lot wider than 20 feet, and they can be as tall as 10-story buildings. They're monsters. That's a pleasure cruise. And I was on a pleasure cruise once, one of the few vacations I ever took. The pool on the ship that I sailed on was bigger than the Santa Maria, just the pool that was on the ship. And I think the kitchen was bigger than the Santa Maria. So, but imagine what life on a ship like Columbus's would have been like for 3 months. It was certainly no pleasure cruise, especially on a scary journey that had never been taken before. Now, Columbus ran into problems immediately. He had to make a pit stop in the Canary Islands to repair one of the ships, and it wasn't until September 6th that they finally got underway. So they started off on August 3rd, but it wasn't really till the 6th of September till they really were embarking on this great journey. So off they went, heading west on this most famous journey, the most famous one ever taken. And the sailors were very nervous. They watched the land until it disappeared from the horizon, at which point they broke out in tears. They were just wailing like crazy. Nobody had ever taken this trip before. People mocked the idea. Others warned about the dangers of sea monsters and the possibility of falling off the earth. No wonder these guys were crying. They were scared, and I bet I'd probably be scared too. How about you? So you got to put yourself in the place and time and understand the thinking of the people to really get an idea of how these men felt. But off they went anyways on the unknown ocean with Columbus's bravery leading the way. This truly was the most daring adventure anyone had ever taken up until this time. Now remember, other brave sailors and mariners sailed the coasts of the various continents and gained fame for themselves, but Columbus was the first person to say goodbye to the comfort of the coastline and steer straight into the trackless ocean, relying upon nothing but is faith in God and a scientific theory. Now, you may complain about Columbus all you want if you have a beef against him and some of the things he's done, and some of the things weren't very good. We pointed this out in the past, but you know all these things. But this fact alone, this bravery, what he did is reason enough for us to consider him one of the most brave and accomplished men in history. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater like so many people are prone to do. Acknowledge the good things that are done by people. And yes, avoid the bad things, but don't throw everything out. Now, Columbus was not only brave, but he had to deal with cowardly men on this long journey. It was a difficult task. There was actually a conspiracy among the men to mutiny and throw him overboard. But just before they were going to make Columbus sleep with the fishes, just before their plan was ready to be put into execution, something amazing happened. What was it? We'll talk about that next. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. I really hope you learned something. Until next time, remember this. Be good to one another, because we're in this together.